Part 3, Jesus. Chapter 10, Breakthrough. Jesus arrived. BC was about to become AD, or BCE was about to become CE. Jesus' arrival was the major turning point in the history of the world, and that's no exaggeration. With Jesus, everything was about to change. He would enable God's plan to work. The Bible offers four perspectives on the life and death of Jesus. We call them the four Gospels, named after their authors, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We shall refer to them a good deal from now on. Jesus' coming started, of course, with the events we commemorate at Christmas. In a minor Roman province at the back end of the Roman Empire, a young Jewish girl of 15 or 16 years of age gave birth to a son. No fanfare of trumpets announced his arrival, nor did Mary give birth to him in a smart maternity wing. She was away from home, travelling to Bethlehem with her fiancé Joseph to register in the latest census announced by the authorities. Hundreds of folk were on the move, so the roads and lodging places were all crammed. But with the birth imminent, they managed to find a place typical of ordinary people's dwellings of the day. This was a living room with a space at one end for the family's animals, and it was in a hollowed-out space where the animal feed was put that Mary made a bed of straw for her newborn son. Aha, you say. So Joseph and Mary weren't yet married, but they'd clearly jumped the gun and Mary had got pregnant. Oh well, it happens a lot, no big deal. That's the natural assumption, and that's what many of the locals thought about the birth of Jesus, even after he was grown up. But it's a mistaken conclusion. Let's take a closer look. While Jesus' birth was, in many respects, very ordinary, in other ways, it was as extraordinary as they come. You can read about it in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. First, Mary received an angelic visitation. Don't be too quick to dismiss that notion as fantasy. We're talking here about the great Creator God breaking into the realm of humanity. That's a mind-boggling concept, so it would be odd if no extraordinary phenomena showed up. In such a context, an angel acting as a messenger from God is no great surprise. The angelic visitor, named Gabriel, informed Mary, who was a virgin, that she would become pregnant. This would happen not by the usual means, however, but by the direct operation of God the Holy Spirit upon her. The Holy One, to whom she would give birth, would therefore be called the Son of God. And since God isn't into coercion but cooperation, Gabriel gave her the option of agreeing to be the vehicle of God's entering the world of humanity or turning it down. Mary wasn't stupid. She knew enough about people to realize that many of her family and contacts wouldn't swallow her story about her pregnancy being divinely caused. But this girl had a real faith in God. She agreed to the proposal, saying to the angel, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Sure enough, she became pregnant. The next problem was for Joseph, her fiancé. In Jewish society at that time, engagement was a legally binding arrangement, as binding as marriage itself. The sexual dimension, however, was not permitted until the marriage. Joseph knew full well that he and Mary had not had sexual relations, yet here she was, pregnant. We can't blame him then for jumping to the obvious conclusion and being deeply upset. He clearly loved the girl, but felt in the circumstances that he had to divorce her, if only to protect his own reputation. He would do it quietly, he decided, with the minimum of fuss, to protect the girl he still loved. A good, sensitive guy, Joseph. This called for another angelic visitation. In a dream, an angel assured Joseph that Mary hadn't been involved in any hanky-panky, but that the work of the Holy Spirit accounted indeed for her pregnancy. He could go ahead and marry her without any qualms. Of course, it was up to him whether or not he did so. We could understand it if he had played safe, for his reputation's sake, by breaking off the engagement. But he didn't. He married the girl, and as the scripture records, he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. They named him Jesus. That was in direct response to the angel's word to Joseph, "You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins." Names in those days were important. Parents often chose them to show the kind of person they hoped their child would grow up to be. Jesus was a common name. It's the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew name Joshua, which means rescuer, deliverer, or savior. Jewish parents would call a newborn son Jesus in the hope that he would grow up to rescue the Jews from the Roman occupation. Joshua had been one of the outstanding heroes of Jewish history centuries before. He had taken over from the great Moses and saved the Israelites by bringing them into the Promised Land after their escape from slavery in Egypt. Remember that? It was this saving aspect that the angel referred to when he said that this Jesus would save his people, but not from the Romans, from their sins. Mary's firstborn, according to the angel, was destined to be another great saviour of the people, but this time from the shackles of their human frailty. Another extraordinary event took place before very long. A group of non-Jews arrived to pay homage to the child Jesus. Here we have an early indicator that the deliverance this boy would achieve was not going to be for Jews alone. It would extend into the world of the Gentiles, in line with God's original aim. The visitors have traditionally been called magi, wise men, or kings, and they came from somewhere in Arabia. Traditionally, there were three of them. The Bible doesn't give a number, but the number has been assumed from the fact that they brought three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These men read the star signs that were their speciality to indicate that the newborn boy they were to visit had been born king of the Jews, hence the expensive gifts they brought, fit for a king. They naturally turned up first in Jerusalem, the capital city, where one would expect a king to be. Sure enough, there was a king of the Jews based there. His name was Herod, and he wasn't a baby. He was grown up, nasty and selfish. Herod was of mixed parentage, Greek by culture and Jewish by religion, and he ruled Israel on behalf of the Romans. The politically volatile situation in his day made him understandably insecure. So you can imagine his alarm when told that there were Arabian visitors in town seeking the newborn King of the Jews so that they could pay him homage. King of the Jews was Messiah talk. And as Herod knew only too well, would-be messiahs appeared on the scene from time to time, stirring up political instability and threatening Herod's position. Such pretensions had to be nipped in the bud. So, summoning the Jewish religious experts, he quizzed them as to what the scriptures said about where the promised Messiah would be born. "In Bethlehem," they told him. So he sent the Magi off to Bethlehem to find their King of the Jews, insisting that they let him know when they found him, so that he too could go and pay him homage. What he really meant was, "so that I can have him snuffed out." Off went the Arabians and found the child Jesus in Bethlehem. They worshipped him and presented their gifts, but they didn't return via Jerusalem to report to King Herod. Having been warned in a dream not to do so, they chose a different route home. It didn't take Herod long to realize that the Magi had let him down. But no problem, he knew that Bethlehem was where the child would be. So, heartless tyrant that he was, he ordered a massacre of all the boys in Bethlehem and district under 2 years of age. But Jesus escaped the slaughter, An angel had warned Joseph in a dream of what Herod proposed to do, instructing him to take Mary and their child to Egypt until the danger had passed. As a result, Jesus lived for a while in Gentile, non-Jewish territory, yet another pointer to the scope of the saving work he would later achieve. After Herod's death, the family moved back to their own country and settled in the village of Nazareth. Family life there continued as normal. Joseph was a local carpenter or builder, and he and Mary went on to have other children, conceived and born, unlike Jesus, in the usual way. Meanwhile, Mary's boy was growing up.